Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Monster Intelligence, our podcast where we talk about hiring and recruitment trends, and where at the beginning of the month, we always have a chance to talk with Monster's economist, Giacomo Santangelo, about the latest jobs report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and anything else that we think we need to talk about as we start the month. So, Giacomo, welcome back.
Hello.
Excellent. We're so glad to have you here as always, and can't wait to hear what you have to say about this month's numbers. We just got them out today, and we are, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the kind of overall unemployment rate, it's, 3.6%, which is relatively unchanged, and it seems like things are going pretty well. But as always, you always have a way, because this is what you do, of being able to, you know, lift up the hood and dig a little deeper. So is there anything that is more than just hunky-dory? Like, is there something we may not be seeing unless we were able to go inside of your brain and dig deep?
That is the nicest way of saying that I tend to show up at picnics and drop a squirrel in the punch bowl.
Well, I'll still invite you to any picnic I have, I promise.
I do not feel that my analysis is something that the average person could not do. My feeling is that at some point, the average listener, the average person, has to stop believing everything they read in press releases. I think that's what it is. Because month after month, the Labor Department, and the Labor Department's not alone in this. I think anyone who issues a press release does this to a certain degree. The Labor Department glosses over what's actually going on. And I think we have to stop aggregating data in this way. I think we have to stop generalizing data. Because, yes, it is true that the unemployment rate is unchanged at 3.6%. But if you actually look at the tables that the Labor Department is referencing, you'll notice that in April, despite the fact that the population of the United States of America increased by 115,000 people, and despite the fact that there was job creation, despite all of those things, 353,000 people lost their jobs.
Yeah,
and in one month.
There has been
an increase in the number of unemployed people by 353,000. The measure of what we refer to as labor force participation, what percentage of people who could be in the labor market are actually in the labor market, has now fallen.
Right.
So after months of seeing the labor force increase in size and seeing more people employed, now there are less people employed.
So it kind of makes your head spin, because we keep hearing, you know, it's a job seeker's market. People are hiring.
Lies.
People are desperate to hire.
Lies.
Well, it does seem like this implies, you know, and there could be a number of reasons of why people are leaving their jobs, losing their jobs, but it implies that there are layoffs, there are staff reductions, there's the opposite of a hiring boom when you look at that.
Yes.
Is that what
yes,
you think?
Indeed.
Yeah.
I think, and this is something that I've been saying for a little while now, I think that the inflationary portion of the business cycle that we find ourselves in now will ultimately lead to a recession. And I feel that, and this is something I said earlier in the week, whether it's this Friday, next, you know, a month from today, or 2 months from today, we're going to start seeing the labor market go in the direction we don't want it to go in.
Right.
And I think it's today. This is it.
You think this is the beginning? This is it.
Oh, sure. Sure. And the only reason why the unemployment number isn't increasing is because it's a fraction. And if both the numerator, that's the thing on the top, and the denominator, the thing on the bottom, are both going in the same direction, then the fraction isn't going to change.
So
we want to see the unemployment number falling. We don't want to see it going up. And we know once the Federal Reserve starts aggressively raising interest rates, that number is going to go up. Well, it just so happens the number of unemployed people has already started going up.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because when we look at one specific, you know, kind of number, when we look at the unemployment, the measure of unemployment that includes part-time workers and those who are, you know, kind of, as you've described before, marginally attached to the labor force, instead of 3.5%, that's unemployment that's at 7%.
Yes, it is.
So that's higher.
Sure.
On the other hand, something that I think is interesting is part-time work is actually increasing on Monster. In April, it was our second most searched keyword by candidates. So when candidates are searching for jobs, you know, for a long time, they've been searching for remote work. That's been like our number one keyword for a long time.
Sure.
But part-time is now on the increase.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And, you know, it seems like we've
this
always
talked about. This is not surprising. This is not surprising.
Well,
gas prices are going up. Food prices are going up. Inflation is a bear. We have to address this. So people are supplementing their income. They're looking for work. And when you see I can't get a full-time job, I still have bills to pay, I'll take a part-time job.
Well, in addition to that, even if they can get a full-time job, I think, you know, we think about the salary increases that companies are trying to make in order to keep up with inflation. You know, it might not be possible for companies to increase salaries at the rates necessary right now. I mean, do you think that might be another reason that even full-time workers might be trying to pick up some extra cash with a part-time gig?
Absolutely. I think that's a reasonable response. But I think the other thing we have to address is you pointed out that that alternative measure of unemployment is up.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why that measure is up is because before you fire your full-time workers, you fire your part-time workers.
Why is that? Because the full-time workers are the ones with the benefits. As we've talked about before, they're expensive. They're the ones that you'd like to transition.
But it is more likely that your full-time workers are doing a job that is more intensive and is more necessary to the functioning, day-to-day functioning of your firm. So if you're going to trim the fat, if you will,
right,
the first thing you're going to do is lay off the part-time workers.
Right. So, and just because,
this may signal something we don't want to talk about.
What is exactly that?
Increases in unemployment.
Oh, right. And of course, yeah. No, you're right. It could be a bellwether for, you know, for more of that. And it is interesting, you know, because like we mentioned, so set this 7% number includes the part-time workers. And yet at the same time, candidates are looking for this part-time work. And what is interesting too, though, is that, you know, we had talked earlier, and I think we had spoken for one of our blog posts about, you know, about inflation and about, you know, the labor market. And you had kind of predicted a future perhaps where there might be, instead of one-time full-time worker, you know, companies might prefer to hire multiple part-time contract workers. But but maybe right now, do you think that's a little bit more into the future? Like, what are your thoughts on that, given the numbers we're looking at now?
Well, I think what you have to do, we are in a transitional period, and I said this several times, this is a transitional stage for the labor market. And we have to ask the question, at what point are we in that transition? So we have not reached our final evolution yet. We are not the Pokemon at its end stage of evolution. We're still in the middle, right? And so we have to determine what it is. And again, this is going to be different from firm to firm. This is going to be different industry to industry. What is the end goal? Like, where can this end up? Whenever we talk about automation, for example, there are some jobs which automation cannot take over from human beings.
Right.
But there are a lot of jobs which can. And because they can, we know they will. Yeah. We know that in the future, everything's going to be self-checkout. And checkout people at grocery stores, at retail outlets, that's not going to be a job.
Right.
So we know that at some point in the next decade, 3 million people are not going to have jobs, because that's a job that 3 million people right now have that is not going to exist in the future, in very much the same way that toll taker on highways is not really a job. There are some people, but there are a company like EasyPass that has made that up.
In Massachusetts, there are no right. toll takers. They're gone.
Yeah. On the George Washington Bridge, there are a couple full service lanes where there is a person. But, you know, of the dozens of lanes, you're talking about three.
Right. No.
So I think that's something we have to look at. And if there are my job, right, as a college professor, that is a job which, unfortunately, automation can do something. I can record my lectures.
Yeah.
And then those lectures can be used, and a graduate student, a part-time worker, can grade the papers. Or if they're multiple choice, the computer can do that. And, you know, centuries after I'm no longer here, I'm still robot me is still teaching a class. So, right. I mean, that's really what. Where we,
but nobody but you can do this podcast and give us your thoughts, your brain. We haven't yet created the Giacomo brain.
No, we're not there yet. But I'm saying, so we are in a transitional period. Yeah, I think people are kicking the tires. I think the COVID lockdown, the shutdown, the shelter at home, the work from home, whatever you want to call it, it allowed firms, it allowed companies the ability to kick those tires and see what can we get away with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we need commercial real estate? Do we need to have, you know, and.
Well, yeah, we've seen it in the staffing industry. I mean, staffing firms, they went lean. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons they really had struggled at the beginning of this year, is because when staffing picked up, there weren't enough people to, you know, to do the work of, of trying to find the candidates for jobs. And so, yeah, that's been a big deal. So you're right. We're in a transition period. Something I also wanted to touch on from just today's report is that it's the second month we've seen, there is a growth in manufacturing of transportation equipment and machinery, which is good. But when it comes to auto manufacturing, there's still this crazy microchip shortage.
Yeah.
And Ford reported more than 10% drop in sales in April. So other than cars, what else is fueling job growth in this industry? I mean, clearly, I guess it mustn't be cars.
No, I think we have to remember that as we move closer and closer to an automated future, we really become dependent upon those technologies for everything. And so if our automobiles, if our cars are dependent upon microchips, then employment in the automotive industry is dependent upon production of microchips.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, over the years, over my life of owning automobiles, you know, there was a time I would get into my car and there was a key. It went into a lock and then the key would go in. You turn the key, the car starts. But now there are cars, you get in the car, you just approach the car unlocks itself.
Yeah.
Get in the car, there's a button. You press the button, the car starts. Right? There are indicator lights. There are no dials in a lot of cars. Now we're moving away from dials. So we have to remember that those industries are dependent upon those technologies. And if anything in that supply chain is affected, then Ford, General Motors, these companies don't require as many workers until they can get the parts necessary to produce.
Yeah, so we have to keep our eye on that because car prices are still crazy. Yeah. You know, I don't know, but I'm hanging on to my 2012 car as long as I possibly can, because it is not the time to be shopping for a new car right now.
Well, if not for that hurricane on September 1st of last year, I would still have my car. I would have held on to my car, but there was a flood, and the Hackensack River, God bless New Jersey, the Hackensack River rose up and took my car, and I swam away.
And that's it. It's gone. You haven't replaced it.
That was the end of the car. And, you know, going from dealership to dealership and them saying, oh, well, you know, you should probably wait until 2023.
Right?
Like, you realize it was September 1st. You do realize it's September of 2021. You want me to wait until 2023? And yeah, so they said, well, wow. That's when you're going to get a car.
Wow. Wow. So have you been car free ever since?
No, the kindness of, you know, father-in-law with that car and, various things. But no, right. But this was an interesting thing because I went to the first dealership I went to. I said, you know, I'd like a car. And the lady was very nice. She said, look, we don't have any cars. There are no cars in the building. There was not one car in the dealership.
You were there at the apex of this. I mean, that's on crazy. Wow.
Because it's Bergen County in New Jersey. We were flooded, so everyone's cars were gone. So everyone was looking for a car. You couldn't rent a car. You couldn't buy a car for love nor money. However, the woman said, not only are you going to have to wait until the end of 2022, possibly 2023, mm-hmm. but look at the sticker price on the car and add $10,000. Non-negotiable.
Wow.
So prior to the inflation that we're experiencing now, we saw inflation in the car market.
Yes, we did.
Prior to the inflation we're experiencing today in food, in gas, in just the normal standard of living, the average used car price, used cars, was on par with new car prices because the used cars existed.
Right.
New cars weren't being built.
So insane. And it's still happening. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, kind of talking about inflation and thinking about, you know, I want to kind of, you said earlier in our chat, a recession is coming. So you are confident. Now, do you feel like, yes. You know, if you watch different pundits, you know, some people say, well, it might be a small recession. Do you have any sense of what it could be like? And I think more than employers, I mean, I think for people who are listening, all of us who are listening, whether we're in the hiring recruitment space or not, we're also employees. You know, and yes. We are people who pay rent and mortgage and have families, you know.
Yes.
What are you thinking about in terms of preparing for something like
what
that?
What am I thinking? I'm thinking that 353,000 people lost their jobs last month. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So that's not good. I've always felt, and I tell my students this, that when we talk about economic welfare, we talk about the economic welfare of people. We want to maximize benefit to society. That's what we want. And maximizing benefit, this is not an esoteric academic concept. Mm-hmm. We want to put more money in the pockets of more people. And if we're having a conversation about labor, that means getting more people into jobs.
Yeah.
Right? Getting people who don't have jobs to get jobs. And we know a bad thing when we see it. And when hundreds of thousands of people who had jobs no longer have jobs, we stop and we say, why? Because this is not good. This is the opposite of maximizing benefit to society. Because nothing good can come of hundreds of thousands of people losing their jobs in a month. After we've seen month after month of hundreds of thousands of people getting jobs or tens of thousands of people getting jobs. And there is precedent for this. Because I looked at my calendar the other day and I noticed it's 2022, but and I read the newspaper, I'm pretty certain we're in the 1970s because inflation is at 1970s level, crime in cities is at 1970s level, people's attitudes in major cities in the United States of America sound an awful lot like the things that we were hearing in New York, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, back in the 1970s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And obviously, there are other news pieces outside mm-hmm. the purview of economics, mm-hmm. which come from the 1970s. So this is problematic on many levels.
And when you say the big question is why, you know, are there ways to look into the data tables to see, okay, we're seeing we're seeing unemployment rise in, you know, are we able, not that we're going to do this on this call, and I didn't ask you to do this, but is it possible to answer the question of why have these people left, or is it something that's too hard to kind of like really pinpoint?
Again, I think the issue is to to kind of summarize the data, to deal with summary data, I can tell you the reason why I do the things I do, but I cannot look at any table. No table exists that will explain to me why 353,000 people did a thing.
Right. Or had it done to them.
Yes, or had it done to them. And that's really what we have. I mean, when you talk about why a person takes a job, perhaps a person takes a job because a specific job because it is their life's passion to do that job. Perhaps they take the job because they need the money.
I mean, and you know, and perhaps employers were at the beginning of the year, you know, saying we've got to hire.
Yes.
And then they realized, oh no, there's a recession coming. Yes. We better trim the fat. I mean, there yes. could be something as straightforward as that.
It could be. You know,
it's hard to say, but we will definitely keep looking. The final thing I wanted to ask you about was remote work. And I know we talk about this all the time,
yes.
but it does seem like remote work as an option for mm-hmm. job seekers
yes.
in our job ads and, mm-hmm. and generally speaking, the fact is on the decline, as well as, you know, we just know that more offices are welcoming workers back.
Yes.
So do you have any sense? Do you feel like work from home will completely be a thing from the past? Or do you still believe that there'll be the two classes of workers? I remember, you know, this is something that sticks in my head.
I do.
Yeah. And for people who didn't listen to that podcast, tell it, like, remind me of that thought process that you have around that.
I think, as I said a few minutes ago, I think that employers noticed that they were able to get by with fewer workers in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they could find a way to transition a full-time worker to a part-time worker, they would much rather do that because it's cheaper to get a freelancer to do a thing than it is to get a full-time benefit-earning yeah. individual to do a thing. So ultimately, what we could see in the future is that at one firm, there would be basically, as you said, two classes of worker. There would be the full-time in-person worker and the work-at-home part-time worker. The in-person person is going to get benefits. The other is not. So we will ultimately have people choosing and saying, oh, yeah, no, I don't want the benefits. I like the freedom of being able to work from at home. I like the freedom and the flexibility of being able to do this. And one of the things we talked about last year was, you know, people who technically had full-time jobs, right, because they were sent home to work from at home and they mm-hmm. took on part-time jobs on the side
mm-hmm.
because they had all that extra time.
Right.
And I think that this is a very dangerous thing because ultimately what we're doing is encouraging people to choose not to get benefits.
And I think there's some validity in that in some cases.
Sure.
I definitely think that there's going to be, I agree with you, there's going to be more of this full-time worker with benefits. I mean, this isn't yes. new. It's been and there's going to be an increase of the part-time benefitless,
mm-hmm. sure.
you know, type of worker who can fill in the gaps, do the, you know, but for sort of the bigger strategic thinking, et cetera, you know, yep. you may need a full-time worker.
Of course.
Yeah. It's certainly going to be interesting to see. And it definitely seems like this, the work from home, although not going away in certain sectors at all is decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Well, it, as always, has been a wonderful time talking with you here at the beginning of the month. And I really appreciate your insights and wisdom. You always educate me. And I'm sure anyone who's listening is going to have a much more intelligent conversation when the next time they start talking about the labor market at a dinner party or with their colleagues. So thank you so much, Giacomo, for joining us again.
It was my pleasure.
And we will see you again next month. And if you want to check out more of these podcasts or read some of our ebooks or our latest poll data, which is always interesting, you can go to intelligence.monster.com.